How many actual cases of bowel perforation did you have?
In this group, we had two, which is surprising because it turns out to be about 2%, which is exactly what had been reported in the other trials.
At this point, you know, sort of looking back at your experience as well as what's been reported in literature, what's your take on what's going on with these bowel perforations?
It's hard. I think we're all guessing, and we do not have really a good answer for this question. However, I do think that bevacizumab has been already demonstrated, does have an impact on healing, and our bowel is something that's very active. I mean, the mucosa is exchanging cells all the time, and we do have, I think, a very active environment, if you will. And I think that a small injuries that may happen to the bowel that would otherwise be healed may end up resulting to a perforation. I wish I knew more, and I think that we have to look more into this. One of the ideas is that we should probably be looking more into pathologist specimens from patients who had bowel perforation and had that area resected. You know, I'm not familiar with anybody looking into those specimens and trying to find out what happened at the tissue level. I don't know if that's going to bring the answer, but it's a logical next step, and I think those things will need to be done.
One of the common questions about bevacizumab relates to the safety of doing surgery and what the time interval is, and Lee Ellis from your place has talked a lot about that and written about that. In your 100 patients, did you have patients who went to surgery? Did you see complications?
We did have patients who went to surgery, and I have to point out that since the beginning, we have been very aware that bevacizumab could cause changes in the healing process. So we never take patients to surgery electively if they have received the bevacizumab within 6 weeks. So we always wait 6 to 8 weeks right now, which could be an overkill or could be too little. We don't know. But that's the number that we right now feel relatively comfortable with. And we do not restart bevacizumab until approximately a month after the surgical procedure. And this is based on the very small data that came out from the Hurwitz experience in the randomized trial with IFL and bevacizumab. So we were not able to find in this small number of patients who had procedures any significant increase, but we were respecting those boundaries. Now, I think that's another very important point that will need to be investigated in the future, because we may be waiting too long or we may be waiting too little, and we need to really look into this with greater care and find out exactly how long should we be waiting.